And let's turn to John chapter 3 and verse 16, 17, and 18. Let's read that together. And I believe it will, as you continue to read this, revelation will continue to unfold just from this scripture. When you get there, say amen.
Amen.
And let's read this out loud. If you don't have a Bible, just you might want to look on with someone or from your electronic Bible. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world. The world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. And I like to read this particular scripture. Every time I read it, it blesses me. Psalm 119, 130. "The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple." And, there's a number of translations. Young's literal translation says, "The opening of thy words enlighteneth." The Amplified, "The entrance and unfolding of your words give light." That just means revelation. You know that? We're reading along, reading the word, and you know how we've all had a wow moment. That's revelation. That's understanding. That's enlightenment. And as we continue to read God's word and meditate upon it, we'll make our way successful. So we're going to touch on the honor of God. And some of the things you might ask, well, what is honor? It's similar to respect. That's part of the definition, but it's more than that. Honor is more than just respect. And I know you know this. Rodney Dangerfield made a whole career of jokes. "I get no respect." He made a whole career out of that. He made funny jokes about it. Usually comedians make funny jokes about things that people deal with. So he wasn't just making jokes about things that people don't deal with. And then, of course, very familiar, Aretha Franklin, R-E-S-P-E-C-T. But what was the tagline? Just a little bit. So folks are just looking for just a little bit of respect, right, in life. And so it's probably, I would say, and I think you might agree with me, it's probably the one of the number one problems in society: lack of respect, lack of honor. And so when we look at this, how many were taught to respect by your parents? So we didn't just come out of the womb. We had to be taught respect. We had to be taught to honor, did we not? So what we see today is that when you have, and of course we all know this, when there's a breakdown in the family unit, we have really children bringing up children. And so you have this whole gap or lack of adults not really teaching their children how to respect. Respect for them. Children don't even respect their parents anymore. And so we know this. They don't honor their parents. I'll tell you, when I grew up at a table, when we went to eat at the table, I would say, "You speak when you're asked to speak." And some folks may say, well, that's a little hard, but I'll tell you one thing. I learned respect. I learned respect for those older than me. I learned respect for my parents, because if I said or did something, I got something that soap wouldn't wash away. It's called like a knot on your head or a lump somewhere. And so we learned respect, and we learned how to honor someone in authority. And so what we have today, and of course I'm not trying to teach some kind of a lesson in natural things, but there are parallels between natural and spiritual things, because if we're not learning respect at home as children, then we don't have we don't really know how to respect a teacher in school. We don't learn respect for, even like what we have here, for law enforcement. No respect for law enforcement. No respect for people in authority. Thus, what ends up happening? When you have people that get saved, yes, they love God, but they've never been taught to respect one in authority, so thus they don't even respect the pastor. Am I preaching to the choir here this morning? Am I saying something that's foreign? So even in church, because, and I'm not talking, you know, you all have been taught, so you understand that. But then there may be some watching that maybe they've never really got a hold of that. And so there needs to be a level of teaching on respect. And again, it's not what you say, but how you say it. It's in your tone and your attitude. And do you understand how many may know this? When you have a lack of respect, it affects what you learn in life. Because if you don't respect the person that you're with, someone above you, and you go, you won't open yourself up to that gift that's in your presence. Am I right?
Yes.
I mean, all of us have been there. We go, eh. Every one of us in this room had to learn some things in life. And some of us didn't appreciate some things that were being shared with you, and you did what? You blew it off. Right? Every one of us have. Through life. In our immaturity, we blew things off. And so why was that? Because of an attitude. They don't know nothing. And then how many of us, when we got older, we go, boy, mom and dad were pretty smart. They knew some stuff. Yeah, they knew it all along. You just didn't want to listen, right? And so, you know, when you're taught to respect at home, it will affect your attitude and your learning. Your attitude, as I shared, in school and your learning environment, your police officers, and also, when you think about it, you have a generation now that has a bad attitude towards its government, because they've never really learned respect and to honor. I mean, we got people now burning flags and don't have any respect, or don't even honor those that go and protect this nation. You see. And I know, you know, and please don't send me any letters or emails about all of the you know, the bad eggs that are out there that are doing bad things. We know that. That's why we're here to pray. That's why 1 Timothy says that God wants us to pray for all of those, for every man, and for all those who are in authority. What? That we were made to lead a quiet and peaceable life and all godliness and honesty. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. So we know that. They're bad people. They're people that don't do right in the church. But you pray. But God has established authority. Amen. So let me just read some definition, a definition of authority, of honor, because it's similar to respect. I've been kind of using the word respect, but it's more than that. So honor is to treat with great consideration, to respect greatly, to regard highly, to treat with deference or courtesy, to esteem to the highest degree, to treat with dignity, to treat as precious, to hold in honor or high respect, to revere. I'm just reading some definitions. So now when we, and I'll highlight that again, I'll read it again, because you can think of all of the various scriptures in the Bible that refer to honor. It's to treat with great consideration, to respect greatly, to regard highly, to treat with deference or courtesy, to esteem to the highest degree, to treat with dignity, to treat as precious, to hold in honor or high respect, to revere, to show courteous regard for. And we can go on. I can give you a few more, but I think that's enough for right at the moment. But you can see here there are a number of things. I'd make this statement that there's probably here and also viewing, there are probably many husbands or wives that feel they don't get enough respect or honor from each other or from their children. There may be some pastors that don't get the respect or honor appropriately in their churches. And I remember reading something, I don't have it in front of me, but it struck me kind of as significant. Rhema puts out a magazine to all of their alumni called Connections. And in there, they were highlighting marriage. And there were some pastors that were sharing some of their personal insights into the success of their marriage. And then there were also, they gave reference material, books and so forth that you could read, articles and so forth. But one of the things, one couple that I thought was very interesting, this couple, the wife, said, you know, that they had been married since they were sweethearts, young. And she said, the Lord began to deal with her that she said she did not honor her husband. And so it was an adjustment for her. But I thought, now there's a significant thing right there. There are a lot of couples, men and women, that do not honor. Let's insert here. Husbands and or wives don't treat with great consideration their wife or husband. They do not respect greatly. They do not regard highly. Or they don't treat with deference or courtesy. They do not esteem to the highest degree. Treat with dignity. You understand what I'm getting at. And that can be husbands and wives or children. And so with that, so what we're sharing here is that respect or honor has to be taught to children in the home and at church. Now, there's a book that is made reference here, and you may want to get this. I'm going to see if we can get it into the bookstore. It's an old book. It's written by an author by the name of Henry Drummond. You can get it on Amazon. I'll share that, a little plug for Amazon there, but you can download it also. But it's an old book. It's called The Greatest Thing in the World. And what he does, it's a very small book, he goes through 1 Corinthians 13, and he goes through verse by verse, and he begins to share on the love of God, but he also shares it from the aspect of honor. And he made a statement, he said that the people, you can't really love someone unless you respect and honor them. It's the statement he made. You can't really love someone unless you respect and honor them. That was stated by Henry Drummond in his book. And he also made this statement that the people that we really influence in life are those who believe that we really believe in them. You see. And when we begin to respect them, then it gives them the first restoration of the self-respect that they have lost, and they begin to believe in themselves, and it begins to unlock their giftings and talents and their future. So we're all, as Christ's ambassadors, we are all leaders for God. And so for all of us to influence, and I'm going to draw this because, you know, Jesus would tell stories. He would take you from the natural to the spiritual, and I'm going to attempt, by the help of the Holy Ghost, we're going to kind of walk this to a place where we can draw a spiritual connection here. But we as ambassadors, we have been given, those that have come to know God in Christ, we have, think about this, kind of just things flood in my thinking here. Adam was crowned with what? The glory of God. He was crowned with glory and what? Honor. That's why I think it's so devilish. If you go to Psalm 8, it talks about man. What is man that thou art mindful of him? And it talks about him being made a little lower than the angels, a little lower than God. And he was with glory and honor. What has been restored to us by coming to know Christ? That glory and that honor. That's why the devil hates it so much. He hates you so much, because that glory, that honor rests upon you. So don't let people tell you who you are. You better know who you are. You're clothed with glory and honor. His honor that rests upon Jesus. And so that's why the devil hates man so much. And he hates, and he tries to get us involved in foolery and foolishness. That's why he tries to get the church to bicker with one another, fight about stuff that is unnecessary. He wants us to fight about race. He wants us to fight about, they're doing this and they're doing that. We are clothed with honor and glory. And you better not forget that. You are clothed with dignity. And thus, because of that, we need to treat each other with dignity. As Jesus is, what is 1 John? In 1 John, I believe it is over there, in 2nd chapter, I believe, as he is, so are we. to be where? In this earth. And so, does he treat you with deference? Does he treat you with dignity? Yes, he does. You know, I don't want to jump ahead. I want to keep my thoughts here. Keep this in the text of where we are here. One of the things, and I didn't get a chance to really delve into this as much as I wanted to, because it was very early this morning, about 4 this morning, that I was kind of laying my head down and thinking about this, and I didn't have a chance to really read as much as I wanted to. But one of the things that this word shame really struck a chord with me. Let me just read this. A feeling of guilt, regret, or sadness that you have because you know you've done something wrong. These are kind of some definitions of the word shame. Ability to feel guilt or regret or embarrassment. Dishonor or disgrace. Dishonor or disgrace. Don't let the devil shame you or bring up your past because you've been clothed with glory and honor. I don't care what you've done in your past. You've been redeemed from the curse of the law. And I believe 2 Corinthians 5:21 says we've been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. We have been made right with God. Well, if I've been made right with God, there's no shame. There's no dishonor or disgrace. Am I correct? We've been made right with God. That's why you need to change. It says, what does it say? Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, by the renewing of your attitude, so that you may know what is that good and perfect will of God. We've been changed. We've been clothed with glory and honor. And disgrace and dishonor is not from God. He can raise up and he puts down. And do not let the devil cause you to feel, I use that word feel, shame or disgrace. It reminds me of the scripture in Romans chapter 8. It says, you know the scripture. For those that may be viewing, let me just read it. Says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. No condemnation, no shame. You are clothed with glory and honor. And when you, the devil endeavors to bring condemnation and shame. Now, and you can see this in society, honor and respect is so needed that people begin to actually seek it. Is that not true? People begin to seek that. That's what gets them in trouble. Sometimes in marriage, the lack of respect and honor can cause some to seek it elsewhere. That happens. Let's turn to John 12. We're just going to highlight some things. We're going to spend a few lessons on this, so we're just going to lay a little bit of a foundation here today. John chapter 12. And starting in verse 24. It says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal." Now I want you to focus on verse 26. "If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be." If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. If we do what? Serve him. Take up your cross and follow me. When you do, it says here, if any man serve me, him will my Father honor. So Jesus is guaranteeing you that if you serve him, his Father is paying attention. And he will bring you into honor. He's going to treat you with great consideration when you serve him. He's going to treat you with great consideration. So don't let the devil, I laid it all on the line. When God called me, I didn't look back to see who was following. I didn't ask my family. I wasn't married, but I didn't ask my parents, my siblings. I didn't ask any of them, "What do you think?" I heard God and I kept moving. Serving him. And as the scripture says here, he will bring you to a place of honor when you serve him. Doesn't happen overnight. He's going to watch how you serve him. Amen. The Message Bible, it says, "If any of you wants to serve me, then follow me. Then you will be where I am, ready to serve at a moment's notice. The Father will honor and reward anyone who serves me." The Amplified says, "If anyone serves me, he must continue to follow me, to cleave steadfastly to me, conform wholly to my example in living, and if need be, in dying. And wherever I am, there will my servant be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him." Doesn't say maybe, he will honor you. Honor comes by saying yes to the Lord and not doing just what is expected, but above and beyond what we're required to do. So, if we want the King of Kings and the Lord of Jesus, the head of the church, to place some of his honor upon us, then it comes by saying yes to his will and a willingness to serve him. This is how you get the honor of God. Let me read, we're in John. Turn to John 8. John 8, verse John chapter 8, look at verse 49. Jesus answered and said, I have not a devil, but I do what? I honor my Father, and you do dishonor me. And I seek not mine own glory. There is one that seeketh and judgeth. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. In verse 54, jump down to 54, it says, Jesus answered, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom you say that he is your God. The Amplified said, Jesus answered, if it were to glorify myself, magnify, praise, and honor myself, I would have no real glory, for my glory would be nothing and worthless. My honor must come to me from my Father. It is my Father who glorifies me, who extols me, magnifies, and praises me, of whom you say that he is your God. Now let's turn over to Numbers. Numbers chapter 27. I want us to take a look at this. This is about Joshua and Moses. And you can glean from this story here. Numbers chapter 27, and starting in verse 16, I'm going to read through verse 23, 16 through 23. Everybody there? It says, let the Lord, the God of the spirits of all flesh. What does it say? Set a man over the congregation. I'm going to stop there. It didn't say set a committee over the congregation. It said set a man over the congregation. Now again, that could be a woman if God puts a woman over a congregation. There are many. But it doesn't say he set a group of people, which may go out before them, and which may go in before them. He's talking about a man. And which may do what? Lead them out, and which may bring them in, that the congregation of the Lord be not as sheep which have no shepherd. Verse 18, and the Lord said unto Moses, take thee Joshua, the son of Nun, a man in whom is the Spirit, and do what? Lay thine hand upon him, and set him before Eleazar the priest, and before all the congregation, and give him what? A charge in whose sight? Their sight. Verse 20, and thou shalt put some of thine honor upon him. I want you to see the significance of this. That all the congregation of the children of Israel may be obedient. So there's leadership involved here, that part of his success as a leader is that some of Moses' honor, his authority, his divine authority, is being put upon him. It's going to change his thinking. It's going to change the way he presents himself. There's going to be divine authority and honor that's being placed upon him by another leader who he submits to and has served. And he, and verse 21, and he shall stand before Eleazar the priest, who shall ask counsel for him after the judgment of Urim before the Lord. At his word shall they go out, and at his word they shall come in, both he and all the children of Israel with him, even all the congregation. And Moses did as the Lord commanded him, and he took Joshua and set him before Eleazar the priest and before all the congregation. And he laid his hands upon him and gave him a charge, as the Lord commanded by the hand of Moses. So there's great significance in this story. You can see so much in this that Joshua served Moses, served that vision that God had given him. He wasn't serving his own interest or his own, you know, I got my own thing. I feel I'm called to go do something. He served under that leader. And when time came that was such that God determined that he wanted to put Joshua in charge, he did what? He transferred some of that honor, that divine authority, from Moses to Joshua. Now it says he transferred what? Some of thine honor, not all of it. So you can see here that even where that's concerned, he wasn't. He got some of it, but it also, you know, he says here, some of it is bestowed, but then some you grow in, or grow into. He didn't get all of that. Does that make sense? And Joshua wasn't getting this honor just because of who Moses was, but what Moses was to him. He was someone over him. He respected and honored him. You know, when you think about this, the church today has in it certain offices: the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher. And you know, just like in when Jesus was alive, what did it say? He could do no mighty works in his own hometown. It says a prophet is without honor. He could do no mighty works. They didn't respect or do what? Honor him. So those gifts, that anointing from heaven was not released in their midst. And you know, that's no different today. Whether it's in the church, whether it's, like I was sharing before, whether it's in society, things that you have advantage to, when you don't respect it, you don't receive from it. Is that correct? Hey, I've missed it sometimes. You don't receive because you don't honor or respect a particular individual. That could be anybody. It could be your parents. So you can see here, Moses was someone over Joshua. He was a type of a spiritual father. And Joshua was someone who served him. And because Joshua served Moses and recognized who he was, then there could be a transfer of that honor to him. And this honor was necessary, or this divine authority was necessary for his leadership to be effective. And you know, you have many examples in life. You can look at just in the natural, I'll name a few. John Osteen was alive for many years, did a mighty work of God, and his son was a camera operator. And he honored and served his daddy. And his whole goal was to make his dad look good on television. And at some point, there was a transference of that honor and that divine authority to him. Not necessarily in some type of a setting like here with Moses and Joshua, but God placed his divine influence on that young man. He served his dad. You can see it today. When Brother Hagin was alive, his son served his dad and his wife. And they have been placed in a position of honor and divine, they've been given divine authority to continue the vision that God gave that ministry. See, so when we say serve, do you know you have to serve another man's vision before God will give you your own? That's just the law of sowing and reaping. You know, so many folks today, are they come out of Bible school and I'm called of God. I know you are. But you know, you got to serve another man's vision before God will entrust you with something that he's going to give you. And that comes with that, with divine, that divine, that honor, that authority that goes with that calling. Yes, the calling of God is what? It's without repentance. The gifts and callings of God. But they come in most cases with service and serving. Same thing. You can see here Pastor Sarah and Pastor Clinton. They served in other capacities. They served Brother Hagin. They honored him. Yes, they had their own ministry, but they honored. And here's the deal with that. God may send you out and start a ministry, but you are never disconnected from a vision that God has given someone. You are to continue to support it. See, not only just with your words. You know, you say, I'm praying for you, brother. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. That's a good thing. That's wonderful. But sometimes, and most importantly, honor and respect is more than just words. You've got to show it with your actions, your service, your doing, your financial support. Jesus said this, Matthew 15:8, he said, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but what? Their heart is far from me. If there's going to be honor, there has to be some substance, something that costs you something. Not your words, something that costs you. Your time, your money, to serve another vision. You know, I'm just thinking of thought. I'm just looking at Deacon Tony over here, and I just thought, I saw him, and I thought of something military. When soldiers are given the Medal of Honor, it's for something of high regard. You can fill in if I miss this, but it's something that's distinguished them. They did something of extreme valor. They something that cost, they put themselves, they didn't play it safe. They put themselves in what? Harm's way. And I don't have the stats this morning. I started to look it up. There have been conferred, I believe, 3,400, somewhere it's 3,400, 3,500 medals of honor. It started back in the Civil War. Am I correct with this? See, I'm getting a nod. And half of them, I believe they said there's about 190 that may still be alive. But they've put themselves, and I think they said there were 19 that have received it twice. He's nodding me yes. But these men and or women put themselves in harm's way, something that cost them. So when we serve, when God is going to place some honor upon someone, it had to have come in some cases, like with Joshua, when I'm talking about divine authority for a vision, for a purpose, there was service, there was sacrifice involved. Am I, you're all too quiet today. I guess maybe you're thinking. Hallelujah. Think about this. When we say, when we're talking about substance, Proverbs 3:9, honor the Lord with thy substance. Do you honor the Lord with your substance? That means you regard it highly. We're talking about honoring the Lord. Let me read that definition again. It says, to treat with great consideration, to respect greatly the Lord with my substance. Do I do that, or I just give him some silver change? Or do I give him my best? Did it cost me something? You know, when the Lord says, give this, you go, ooh, that pinched. Did it cost you something? When you honor the Lord with your substance, then what does it say? When you honor the Lord, when you serve him, it said, when you follow Jesus and you serve his will, it says what? The Father will do what? Honor you. See, I think we've taken too lightly, because it's gotten watered down with society's thinking of what honor means, what respect means. We need to look at it from God's vantage point, have our minds renewed. We honor the Lord with our substance, with the first fruits of all thy increase. So, let me make this statement. The honor you get is sometimes the honor you sow. You don't sow honor, you don't get honor. Same thing. I'm thinking, think about this. Here's just some thoughts here. I'm looking at some notes. Noah's sons. Two of them did what? They backed out of the tent. They honored, and one dishonored. And as it said, seeing their father's nakedness, but the one son dishonored and the two didn't. So there's a level of respect, honor for the individual that we serve, the vision that's been given. That's why you see so many sometimes there, I'll say this, there were some that you see that when somebody passes off the scene, that may be a son of an individual who's significant, sometimes they don't respect the one that's picking up the mantle. There were many that they followed Brother Hagin. But a lot of folks said, I don't like the son. Yeah, same thing. Pastor Clinton passed. 2/3 left. So who are you honoring? Were you honoring the vision that God gave the ministry, or the individual? See, God anointed Pastor Clinton and Pastor Sarah with his divine honor and authority to continue to do this work, to raise it up, to build it. We served them. with every ounce, Pastor Greg and I and others, served them with every ounce of energy and fiber because we believed in what God was doing in and through them. We didn't leave because we believed in what God had started and is continuing to do. And here's the other thing. We weren't looking to be put in this place. We were very content doing what we were doing and serving. Although I will say this, that God spoke to me very exactly what he was going to do with my life before I came here. And so, you know, I didn't try to make that happen. And so God will place his authority and honor upon an individual to fulfill a vision. Amen. So he said, Jesus said, if any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Hallelujah. You know, there's so much here. There's so much I've got to share here. My goodness. Let me just make a couple of more statements. You can't receive from an anointing that you criticize. You respect with words, but you honor with your substance. And sometimes, you know, I'll share this, you know, with all my heart. I mean this absolutely sincerely, with all my heart. When people ask us for our input and we give something to them that they don't like, all of a sudden, it's like you're trying to rain on their parade. You're trying to mess up their plans. We don't wake up in the morning and try to share things that mess up your plans. We're here to help and to say what we believe God has prompted us to say. Now you have the right to follow what you're inclined to do. And we're here if all of a sudden you come back and you go, you know what, you were right. Okay, praise the Lord. We're going to still treat you with dignity and respect. Because the Bible says, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. So even when, let me ask this question, when you didn't respect and you didn't receive from your parents disown you? Did they stop loving you? Did they stop regarding or treating you with the honor that a child would get? No, not at all. And so that's similar, that even now you may not receive the best that you could possibly receive when you disregard the counsel that you get. But we are going to love you, and it says, honor, which means what? To regard highly, treat with great consideration, to respect greatly. We're not going to disrespect someone that doesn't receive our counsel. Does that make sense? Because we all, from the scripture standpoint, it says we are to honor all men. It says here in the Message Bible, treat everyone you meet with dignity. Love your spiritual family, revere God, respect the government. The New Living says, show respect for everyone. You know, that means show respect and dignity to the one that waits on your table when you go to the restaurant. Don't click and suck your teeth because you didn't get what you wanted. I've been places, I almost wanted to get up and leave. Some sucking their teeth because they didn't get something. This says here, we're to treat everyone with dignity and respect. Give them a good tip even when they didn't deserve it. Bless them. Treat them with dignity. Maybe they were having a bad day. You go to the bank, don't get on the bank teller and wah, 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 and give them a hard time. Treat them with respect. and dignity. Does that make sense? Romans 12:10, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. Another translation says, honor one another above yourselves. New Century, give each other more honor than you want from your than for yourself. So we're growing in this, but I can tell you what motivates it, what propels it, is the love of God. Amen. We're going to pick up again Wednesday and next Sunday, I believe, as the Lord leads. And we're going to go back through this, just something to kind of have us chew on a little bit and grow in a little bit. You know, we all can grow, right? We all haven't arrived. Amen. You know, I believe the scripture, let me read this as we close, because there's, I'm thinking of this one other scripture here. When it talks about husbands not having your prayers hindered, it talks about that in the light of in the First Peter. Let me read it from the King James. It says, likewise, 1 Peter 3:7, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge. Give honor unto the wife. I said, give honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your what? Your prayers be not hindered. The Amplified, it says, in the same way you married men should live considerately with your wives, with an intelligent recognition of the marriage relation, honoring the woman as physically the weaker, but realizing that you are joint heirs. You work together, you're joint heirs of the grace of God, of life, in order that your prayers may not be hindered and cut off. Wow. So that means men and husbands, you need to treat your wife considerately. What does it say? With honor. So to treat with great consideration, to respect greatly, to regard highly, to treat with deference or courtesy. Well, she don't act that way. It didn't say that was a requirement. It said you are too. And so I think as we begin to learn a little more about the honor of God, one, that because we're new creatures in Christ Jesus, that honor that was given to Adam, that glory and that honor, that glory and honor that was upon Jesus has been restored to us. And we've been made right with God, and there's no shame, there's no condemnation. And you need to walk with that frame of mind that I'm redeemed, I'm the redeemed of the Lord, and God's honor and glory rests upon me. Amen. Praise God. Father, we thank you today. We're going to just close with, Father, we thank you today for your word. Thank you, Father, that your glory and your honor rests upon us. We thank you that it is no longer I that live, but Christ that liveth in me. And I thank you that our very actions, Father, every day continue to reflect your glory and the honor that you bestowed on Jesus. It rests upon us. And we thank you, Father, that as we go into all this earth, that that glory and that honor will emanate through us and upon mankind and affect them in a positive way. And we thank you for it. Anoint us, Father, as we go forth this day to operate in the glory and the honor that you've given us. In Jesus' name, amen.